Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
That is the 11th time you've heard that intro music.
Hey, we on to the toes, baby. Yep. When you ride a fingers, this is the 11th episode. We on to the toes.
Thank you for downloading the Steam Room and subscribing. We appreciate that. We really do.
We
this
do.
Has been so much fun for me and well, Chuck every Thursday to sit here and just talk about stuff that's really not
sports related.
Or NBA related specifically.
That's the best thing about it for me.
Yeah, and like in this episode, you're going to hear from Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
One of the smartest men and nicest people you ever going to meet.
We'll be talking about the coronavirus with him.
You know what's amazing? Working with you, Kenny, and Shaq, that's the first time I said that. One of the smartest and nicest people I've ever been around. Never said that before. After 19 years with you four. You three.
You realize we're on the air now. When you say something that mean-spirited.
Oh, mean-spirited.
It's not like we're going to start over. See, this is what I put up with, folks. And you know what else I put up with? His most popular phrase, which is how we start our show.
First of all, I could listen to that Mariah Carey song every day. First of all, I've met Rob Lowe a few times in my life. That's a pretty man. First of all, Christmas caroling is not a thing. First of all, I don't even think Kale's a thing.
First of all, what is first of all today?
I got a couple good ones. Hey, America, I know you get sick and tired of negativity in sports, but I tell people all the time, man.
Kind of like the way you started the show with the shot at me and Shaq.
Nothing to do with sports.
That was negative.
That was negative shots at you guys. That has zero to do with sports. Okay.
Right. Oh, perfectly permissible.
Yes.
Continue.
So there was two things that happened in sports. It's one of the reasons I love sports. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life, being able to dribble a stupid basketball. But there's two things that make me just feel good in my heart. First, we're going to the University of Vermont, and there's a kid named Josh Spidell.
Yep.
So when he got a scholarship to Vermont. In 2015, he was in a real serious, almost fatal accident. They left him in a coma and with a traumatic brain injury. And this week, the coach at Vermont had worked out a deal with the other coach. I apologize for not knowing the other school, to let him score a basket. And
it was Albany they were playing.
Albany, okay. And I just want to thank the coach at Vermont and Albany for letting that kid score. And watch his interview. Watch, number one, all the players on both teams give him a hug. And after the game, he was saying, this was the greatest night in my life. I actually scored a basket in college, and nobody can ever take it from me.
Yeah. They play in the America East Conference. Vermont leads that conference with a 13-2 record. And overall,
they've always been good.
23-7. Yeah.
They're good every year.
No, exactly. We expect to see them in the tournament if they can win that conference.
But if you think you're having a bad day, go to on the internet and watch this kid and his interview after the game, you realize you're not having a bad day. I mean, this kid, he's obviously had some serious issues, but for for Albany and Vermont to set up where he could score one college goal, basket. Mm-hmm. And the kid's got a great sense of humor. Because I saw he said, I was going to miss so I could get a rebound and a basket. And that let me know, this kid has got, he says, yeah, I was really thinking about it because I wanted a rebound too. But I was going to miss the first one and get the rebound so I could have a rebound and a basket.
I was watching one of the stories about him too, Chuck. And the night that this happened was the night of the Super Bowl, what, about 4 or 5 years ago?
Really?
And he had decided that night to go out and get some shots up. And went out, stopped for a bite of food, was coming out of the parking lot of that place and got T-boned.
Wow.
But
just go to the internet and you won't worry about having any problems in your life. And the second one, there's a guy named Bobby Ryan who plays for the Ottawa Senators. Y'all know I'm a big hockey fan. And he played his last home game in mid-November. Then he went into rehab. And he came out and played his first home game last week and had a hat trick.
3 goals. In one game. If you're not a hockey fan. Yeah, 3 goals in one game.
Well, first of all, you should be a hockey fan.
I'm with you.
But I just want to give a shout out to those guys, Josh Spydel and Bobby Ryan of the Senators. You know, obviously, I think, you know, we've talked about it before. I had a brother who passed away at a young age. So I know addiction. And, man, I'm pulling for this guy. And just the camaraderie on both teams, giving him a standing ovation, the crowd to give him a standing ovation, just getting back out there. But to have a hat trick, I mean, it just made my heart just feel so – man, there's so many people out here who got real stuff going on. And, they're trying so hard.
The thing, too, that – as you and I talked about that, was the great hockey player salute.
Yes.
You know, is those guys who are on the bench who are banging the boards with their gloves or their sticks.
And he was crying. And,
yeah.
This is a grown man, who got a real struggle. And, he was so touched by his teammates and the other team and the crowd. He was crying on the bench. So you know it meant something to him.
It was one of those. It was one of those moments that if you read the script, if Hollywood came out and did this script and said, NHL player goes into rehab, comes back, scores hat trick, and first game back, rewrite.
That's a Disney movie. Yeah,
that's a little too corny. Yeah. But the thing that makes sports great is that no, it's not corny because it can happen and it did happen, and then you had those cameras trained on those players. And him in particular.
Yeah.
And seeing just the raw emotion of that moment, man. Yeah.
And when you think about those two guys this week, you're thinking you know what? I'm not going to complain about my cable. I'm not going to complain because I had – my car wouldn't start. Man, we get beat over the head because it's really sad that negativity sells in our business. But, man, there's some good stuff happening out there. So, shout out to Mr. Spydel. And Bobby Ryan.
And let me say this. That was in 11 episodes now of Steam Room. I think, and I can see by the members of the crew nodding, that was probably the best first of all we've ever heard, which is pretty rare for me to say because most of them are so average. And we'll be back with more of the Steam Room right after this. Back here on the Steam Room, and it is a pleasure and an honor to be joined by Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent.
Special guest.
Without question. Thanks for being on the Steam Room. We appreciate you.
It's my honor. I've really been looking forward to this. Thanks for having me.
Hey, look, we're talking about the coronavirus, and I mean, this is one of those stories, Dr. Gupta, as we talk to you on a Thursday afternoon, by a Thursday evening, the narrative may change. I mean, how are you keeping on top of this, and how concerned are you? Where would your level of concern be?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a very rapidly changing story, and you know, our team has been sort of following this for close to 2 months now on a daily basis. And as you point out, Ernie, the numbers change every hour. So it's been important to keep on top of Look, my level of concern is that I think that this is, for the vast majority of people out there, this isn't going to be something that's going to make them particularly sick. It's something that they may not even know that they've been exposed to. But I do think there's a couple of things that are worth pointing out. And, you know, I'll tell you that doctors are always sort of balancing this notion of honesty and hope. And I think with a story like this, honesty has to lead the way, and I think knowledge is power, because I think when you hear the facts and the science, it actually is somewhat comforting, but also makes people action-oriented. So what I would say is that 80% of people will not really get that sick or even know they have it, but the elderly and people with pre-existing conditions are more at risk here. Their bodies have less reserve. We all human beings on this planet are constantly fighting pathogens. If you're healthy, you don't really notice it. If you have some sort of health problem or you're elderly, your reserve is lower, and therefore you notice it. So we need to do everything we can to best protect the population of people that we know are vulnerable here. Older people, my parents, you know, people's grandparents, whoever it may be. And I think that's where a lot of the focus needs to be now.
What is, you know, we talk about you might be exposed but don't know it. What are some something that should worry you symptom-wise?
It's hard to distinguish this between, flu-like symptoms, cold-like symptoms, and I think for most people, they wouldn't be able to tell for sure without actually getting tested. One thing that has been interesting, looking very closely at the data from all the patients in China, 70,000 person study over there, is that it tends to affect the lower respiratory system more. So what does that mean? You may one of the earlier symptoms, you may notice that you're just kind of more winded walking up a flight of stairs than typical. You're more likely to have fatigue and muscle aches. You can get those with the flu as well. Things that are less likely to happen are runny nose and sore throat, because that's more upper respiratory. In fact, I'll tell you, I was talking to some of my colleagues in China, and before they had the more widespread testing, if patients came in and they had runny nose, they were very inclined to believe that that wasn't coronavirus, and they would put them in a separate place versus people who are coming in with the lower respiratory symptoms. But the bottom line is the patients can't be expected to know. And I think that's why we need to be doing testing out there. We've been behind on the testing in this country. That hopefully is going to change.
Can I ask you a real basic question, which might sound like a stupid question? Yeah. And I'm not immune from asking those. But where did
Amen,
it start?
Brother.
Where did it start? Where did it come from? I mean, how does something like this begin in the first place?
This is a really interesting question, Ernie. Almost all pathogens that we humans are exposed to came from animal world. There's constantly a swap of pathogens going back and forth, animals to humans, humans to animals. In fact, several times in the past, history of the world, these jumps of coronaviruses have come from animals to humans. We know a couple of them, in particular SARS was a similar sort of situation, which came from this animal known as the civet cat, and MERS, the Middle East Respiratory System, came from camels. They're very confident this came from animals as well. They're not sure which. They think maybe bats. And at some point, it just makes a leap. There was a patient zero. At some point, some human being had the jump occur to that person from an animal, and the pathogen started circulating in that person's body and replicating and eventually started spreading to other human beings. We don't know exactly when that happened, where. We think it was somewhere in China, obviously, but we don't know much more beyond that. But that's almost always the story here. It's that back and forth swapping of pathogens that is constantly occurring, most times without any consequence. But every now and then, it can lead to something like this.
Were you on the mask? Because I've heard different opinions on the mask.
I've really looked into this, Charles. So the headline is that if you're a healthy person, you don't need to wear a mask. If you have symptoms, coughing, sneezing, and you're letting respiratory droplets into the environment, a mask can be helpful to protect other people from your respiratory droplets, which have virus in them. here, you know, there's different kinds of masks. The one that people typically think of, the surgical masks, you know, they're not airtight. That, you know, viruses can still get around the mask or underneath the mask, and so they're not really offering protection. Sometimes a virus gets on the mask and someone then touches the mask, they can actually contaminate themselves. Some studies have shown that wearing a mask for a healthy person can actually put you at increased risk. The Surgeon General just released a report on that. There is another type of mask known as the N95 respirator mask. This may be more than people want to know, but everyone seems to be asking about this. But that's an airtight mask. You have to have it fit tested to your face, and if it's fitted properly, it's actually hard to breathe. I mean, you'd have a hard time conducting your normal daily activities with an N95 mask, which is why it's usually worn for a short time by health professionals who are coming in direct contact with patients. But the bottom line is healthy people don't need masks. It's not going to benefit you. There's some evidence that maybe it makes you more likely to get the infection. And there is this other issue, which I think is real. I was did a meeting with the vice president yesterday looking at the resources in this country. And, you know, we're not sure that we have enough masks for healthcare workers right now. They require several a day in order to take care of patients. We have, you know, maybe 40 million in the stockpile, and 3M is going to start making 35 million more a month. But right now, you know, those masks really need to be used by healthcare workers unless you are sick. If you are sick, if you are coughing, sneezing, and releasing virus into the air, then a mask might be useful.
So let me ask you the question about planes, trains, things like that.
I'll preface by saying I flew three times this week. I flew yesterday. So, you know, to the extent that, you know, you practice what you preach, I'm not worried about flying domestically right now. I didn't see anybody wearing a mask, by the way, on the plane. I spent some time talking to the airline association specifically about the air on planes. I knew the answer to this, but I wanted to be sure. And the air is recirculated several times an hour on planes. So, you know, every few minutes, in fact, it's recirculated. If you look at the quality of air on an airplane in the cabin, there are some studies that say it has because it's filtered so much, it has less impurities in it as compared to, like, most office buildings, for example. The biggest risk, I think the two biggest concerns is that on an airplane, you're obviously in close proximity to people. If someone is sick next to you, within 3 to 6 feet of you, you know, you are at more risk of catching whatever that person has. If somebody is subsequently found to have coronavirus on your plane and you're within a few rows of that person, you will likely get contacted by the CDC afterward and maybe asked to be screened, get tested, and if you come back positive, you may be asked to isolate yourself at home. So those are the concerns. I think the likelihood of that is very low, but I think that's the biggest concern. Now, internationally, there are some countries around the world that have issued travel advisories, and if you go to those places, even if you don't get sick, you may be in quarantine for up to 2 weeks when you return from these places. So that's all to say that I think the likelihood of you getting coronavirus from travel is very low, but there are all these other considerations now with regard to travel that are coming into play because of what's happening.
To follow up on that, I mean, you talk about the air recirculating and that kind of thing. How about tray tables and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody, you know, I don't know how, you know, I know the planes are prepared for every flight and the crew is on there, but I don't know if every tray table is being wiped down with Lysol or whatever, or, you know, could you not be on a plane with a bunch of healthy folks, but somebody on that previous flight using that plane had their hands all over that table, and from what I understand, that is a way that you can contract it.
No question. And the tray table, interestingly enough, maybe is one of the dirtiest parts of the plane. There's been studies on this, and I'm one of those guys who does wipe the tray table down every time I sit down. One of the ways this virus is transmitted is that those droplets, those respiratory droplets I was talking about, end up on a tray table. They can live there for hours, maybe even longer, unless it's disinfected. They try and disinfect the planes, and they're getting better about it. That's the airline industry was at the White House yesterday talking about that. But you're absolutely right. Touching surfaces and then touching your nose, your mouth, your eyes is a way that people can contaminate themselves, can infect themselves. So, yeah, I mean, I take great precaution, even outside of coronavirus season, to always wipe down those tray tables. I'll tell you, you know, it's funny. I've noticed a lot more people doing it. Whenever I would do it, I'd sit on a plane, I would start wiping it down. The guy next to me or the person next to me would look at me, and then they would immediately start wiping down.
Hey, you got any more of those? Yeah.
Right, exactly. And I'll tell you another thing I noticed, because I've been traveling so much this week. Every time I'm in the restroom now, I mean, I've never seen so many guys seriously washing their hands as I have over the last couple of weeks.
That's a good thing here at our studio. I hope it catches on.
I know. Yeah. It's a good habit, and I hope that that good habit continues far beyond this outbreak. But, you know, I think those true and tried basic measures, the reason for hundreds of years they've been recommended is because they can work. And that may be some good that comes out of this, people actually practicing those good behaviors.
So my question, you know, there's been this debate I've watched on TV for the last couple of years. Is washing your hand with soap or hand sanitizer, what's the pro and con of that argument?
Well, you know, soap and water is fine. I mean, you tend to, the CDC recommends soap and water, 20 seconds of doing that as the best way when they look at, you know, what kind of viral residue you have left on your hands. If you are using the hand sanitizer, it should be 60% alcohol-based in order to have the best benefit. The scrubbing motion, 20 seconds, the scrubbing motion seems to be pretty important, the mechanical act of actually removing the virus off of your hands as well. But I think hand sanitizer is good in a pinch, but the washing is probably better. If you are going to hand sanitize, 60% alcohol is a good thing to look for on the bottle. And if you're washing with soap and water, really, you know, 20 seconds doesn't seem like that long, but if I say you sing the happy birthday song twice in your head, it's actually a long time, you know, and if you do that, you'll find that you're spending a fair amount of time really washing your hands well, back of your hands, your thumbs. People often forget their thumbs. And I hope this doesn't sound silly to be talking about hand washing so specifically in the middle of an outbreak, but again, it is so important in terms of stopping the spread of this. So 20 seconds, soap and water, really doing it, and people, I think, are doing it better than they have in the past.
How about crowds and going out and... You know, we've heard about some sporting events that are going to be played in front of no fans internationally.
I think I've heard a few college basketball games too, right?
Yeah, a couple of teams have canceled trips to certain areas. I mean, would you say, hey, don't go into a crowd of 20,000 people? Or would you say, what would you say?
I would not say that yet. I would not. I don't think the science is suggesting that yet. And I've asked the scientists who are really tracking this on the coronavirus task force. We're not there yet. I mean, in Japan, they've closed schools for a month. In Italy, they've closed schools and colleges to the middle of March. And I will tell you, you know, some of the things we're seeing in this country, Ernie, you know, those 195 passengers that came from Wuhan that were quarantined at that airbase in California for 2 weeks. Remember that? What happened? That quarantine on American soil, that hadn't happened in decades in this country. Last time was actually around smallpox in the 60s. So, you know, we're seeing some unprecedented action here. During the H1N1 outbreak in 2009, there were some 700 schools that were closed at that point, and we hear about 50 schools that have been closed now in the United States, trying to get at this concept of social distancing, just sort of distance people from each other. That's a way to break the spread. But I think, you know, what you're hearing from the scientists who are already following this is that the same sort of things you would do during flu season really seem to be the best advice here. So if you are sick, be honest about it and stay home, because you're going to infect other people. And if you are out in public, you know, trying to avoid sick people as best you can. Again, as we talked about with the surfaces, so much of this transmission occurs because someone touches a surface, then touches their own face. Avoiding that. I don't shake hands. I don't shake hands much because of what we're talking about generally, but especially at a time when a virus is circulating like this. When you go back and look at SARS, which was in 2002, 2003, it sort of peaked in March-April timeframe, and then sort of the tail end of it was in July. At no point did we have a vaccine. At no point did we have a therapeutic like an antiviral. In the end, what really worked was, first of all, the weather got warmer, and that did help. but also basic public health measures like the ones we're talking about, brought what could have been a really deadly outbreak to a halt. So I think, you know, we're not ready to say stop public events and all that yet. I doubt that those recommendations will be made widely in the United States. Some communities may make those recommendations, but I don't think we're there yet.
You know, you said something about the flu shot. I get a flu shot. Does that have any effect on this coronavirus?
Does not seem to. I mean, these are different viruses. You know, the flu shot is really designed, you know, they designed the flu shot based on the flu virus that is circulating around the country. So it's good to get the flu shot. And the reason is that if you do get symptoms at all and you've had your flu shot, it's going to help the medical folks figure out that this isn't flu. Because I think the first thing that they're going to wonder if someone's developing any of these symptoms is it flu? And it's much more likely to be flu because flu affects tens of millions of people in the United States. This obviously hasn't spread that widely yet, although more widely than we may think. So getting the flu shot is good to keep you sick from getting the flu and also to rule out that it is flu if you get symptoms, help rule it out.
And it's going to be another year at least, right, before you get a vaccine for this?
Yeah, it's this has been a point of confusion. And, you know, I know you people have heard President Trump say, you know, it's going to happen very quickly within the next few months. I think the important thing to remember is at the end of the day, what people mean by a year before the flu is a year before, you know, the average person could get a flu shot. There are candidates for the vaccine that exist right now. There's about 20 of them. That's, you know, companies saying, hey, this could be a vaccine. And another company saying, this could be a vaccine. And all these candidates, they have to go through their trials then. Because right now, it's an educated guess. But you want to make sure that you got a vaccine that is safe. It's not going to make people sick. And that it's going to be effective. And you can't speed up those trials. That just takes time. So it's not going to be ready for this season. If there's a season to this, it's not going to be ready for this season. It'll be about this time next year.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta, man, we can't thank you enough for, I know this has been one of the busiest times of your life, and you've got a town hall with Anderson Cooper on this Thursday night in New York.
Yep.
That'll help a lot of folks too. And we appreciate what you've shared with us today. We really appreciate that.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you. I'm a big fan, and I hope that this, you know, the numbers start to decrease, and I hope to see you guys at what is my favorite sporting event of all.
Yep.
The Final Four.
Yeah.
The tournament.
Michigan. You know, we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to see them in Atlanta in the Final Four?
It's up for grabs, man. It's absolutely grabs.
That one I know.
Yeah, well,
I don't know where this coronavirus is going, but I know about that.
Well, that was, remember, last time they had it in Atlanta. It was your Wolverines,
That's
against
right.
Louisville. Yeah.
That's right.
That'll be
absolutely
awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys.
Good luck with the town hall.
Thank you, sir.
We'll see you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know what? I just love having access to just throw questions out because there's been so much information out there and trying to keep track of it all. Chuck.
I'll say this about Dr. Gupta. First of all, he is fantastic. I love watching him on CNN, but one of the nicest people you're ever going to meet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love watching him, and I'm excited about the town hall because, you know, because people don't know all the answers. And you better ask somebody instead of trying to guess. But I just want to say this, man, one of the nicest people you're ever going to meet.
And that story just keeps on changing.
Yes.
And we encourage you to check out the town hall on CNN on this Thursday night.
Yeah, we need you on CNN.
If you're not watching us talking NBA.
If you have to choose, go with us.
I was going to say go with the town hall. But anyway, we're going to come back here with more of the Steam Room, one of our favorites of all time.
Oh, my goodness. Now he's one of the favorites of all time.
Yeah, Tim Kiley.
Dr. J's here? Oh, you mean?
No, it's Dr. TK. Dr. Gupta, Dr. TK. Yeah. He's next. We're back on the Steam Room. Tim Kiley's here, the legendary coordinating
producer. Wait, I'd like to congratulate you guys on the 11th Steam Room
Thank you.
Podcast.
Well, congratulations to you. You're a huge part of this, TK. What do you got this week, TK?
Well, Ernie, apparently everybody enjoyed the sporting news segment last week.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Blazing Saddles.
Hell, that's it. Slim Pickens. Yeah. The great Slim Pickens. Yeah. Chuck, Is your boy Spike Lee doing the right thing?
I think.
I see what you did there. TK, I see what you did there.
He's doing the right thing. James Dolan.
I think this is much to do about nothing. I don't know who's right or who's wrong, but I'm not going to waste my time talking about the New York Knicks in the middle of we getting ready for March Madness, TK. We getting ready for the NBA playoffs.
So you're just not even going to talk about, you know, Spike says he's been going through that same employee entrance for 20-something years. The team says we've been trying to get him to go into the VIP entrance.
I'm trying to figure, like, they asked you to come in a VIP entrance. Okay. Okay. And it becomes a national story.
Yeah.
Come on, TK. Stop it.
Well, he says he's never going to another Knicks game this year.
I don't want to watch the Knicks anymore this year either.
I don't disagree with you.
That's a great excuse.
Exactly. He's the luckiest dude in the world. Don't have to watch that trash for the rest of the year. Are you kidding me?
Okay, how the hell did you end up chipping golf balls at Angels camp? Have you seen this, Ernie?
I have, as a matter of fact.
Beautiful swing.
In fact, I had exchanged texts with Joe Madden, who told me Chuck is coming out to our camp.
Joe Madden is amazing.
No, he's great.
Ernie knows him pretty well. I got to know him a little bit when he was with the Cubs. I really want to thank him and the great Tony La Russa, who set it up.
Yeah,
and I got to saw the great Albert Pujols, which is always cool. And my man Justin Upton.
But Trouter, too, right?
But I got to say something. I didn't fanboy over Mike Trout this time.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. So, TK, it's kind of like, so a couple years ago, remember we went to the ESPYs? I'm walking to the elevator, and I get around the corner, and I'm walking to Mike Trout, who's amazing. I'm so nervous. I'm like,
I never picture you being nervous around.
Oh, he is. I think when I was at the White House
when I met Paul McCartney and Meryl Streep, I was tongue tied because they're two of the greatest ever.
I'm gonna.
I walk around the corner and there's Mike Trout, and I'm like, I'm Mr. Trout. I'm Charles Barkley.
You call him Mr. Trout?
I'll tell you what.
I was so nervous. I don't know the dude. I ain't gonna walk. Hey, Mike.
Did you see Trout hit that golf ball?
Yeah. Oh, that was unbelievable.
Ernie, beautiful drop.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I give him 2-2 and stump him in golf. Listen, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was really impressive.
Great to spend time with Mr. La Russa, Tony, I love to death, Joe Madden, Albert Pujols, Justin Upton, and the great Mike Trout. That was cool, though, man.
That's very cool. Something else cool.
Uh-oh.
During ESPN's Clippers-Sixers broadcast on Sunday, don't know if you heard this, Ernie. Mike Breen, Van Gundy, and Mark Jackson were talking about your speech at Georgia.
Shout out to the great Maria Taylor, the youngest commencement speaker at her alma mater, the University of Georgia, this spring.
That's got to be an intimidating thing to do.
And I'll say this. I was at one where the great Ernie Johnson gave the commencement speech. The best I've ever heard.
You know what? What's cool?
Congrats, by the way.
That was 2017.
Well, let me ask you a question first.
Yeah.
How nervous were you?
Nervous to a degree, but you know, when you speak a lot, you know, and I make speeches all over the place. But when you're in Sanford Stadium and you got thousands of family members and parents and all these graduates out there, you just don't want to screw it up, you know, and you want it to be meaningful. And what's been cool is to be stopped in airports and that kind of thing by moms and dads who will still say, my son or my daughter graduated from Georgia in 2017, and we were there to hear your commencement address. Yeah. And Jeff Van Gundy was there. He had somebody who was graduating that year. Stan Van Gundy was even there. I talked to Stan once on the phone. He says, man, that speech you made in 2017. So It is indeed one of the highlights of my life, and always will be, to speak at my alma mater and to have that kind of.
Well, let me just say, Mike and Jeff and Mark are fantastic. So yeah, shout out to those guys. But Ernie,
Mike made the Hall of Fame.
In fairness, at that Sanford Stadium, yeah, it had to be the highlight for those Georgia fans because y'all haven't accomplished anything since Herschel Walker left.
Wah, 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 so,
Went to the national championship game.
Yeah, you didn't win.
I know. But we've had some good years, and we've also chalked up quite a few wins over War Eagle.
And did you ad lib a bunch?
It was, yeah, I mean, it was like bullet points. It was like, I want to be able to tell this story. I want to be able to tell this story. But what took the most amount of time, I finished it with a poem, and I based it on the Dr. Seuss, Oh, the Places You'll Go.
Right.
But I reworked it so that it was like a lot of Athens references and being a University of Georgia student references and that kind of thing. But it was very cool because the last line was,
Oh, the mark that you'll make as tonight you embark. Take a swing at this life, hit it out of the park. We'll read of your exploits in books and in blogs. You're the class of 17. Some damn good dogs. Thank you.
And all those kids went, yeah, so it was very cool.
Shout out to Maria Taylor, too. That's pretty cool.
This is tremendous.
That's a tremendous, because she's fantastic.
Another
on television.
Grady College of Journalism grad, and she is awesome, and she will have a wonderful time doing that. But, the thing is, you just soak it up, and you look around, and it's just tremendous.
What about you? What are you going to say in yours? Have you done a commencement speech?
I have not done a commencement speech, but mine would be very simple.
Make lemons out of lemonade?
I would name a bunch of famous people who are successful. And it would be very simple. I would name probably 10 to 15 really successful famous people. And I would say, all these people went to college and graduated. And because we don't know what we can accomplish in life. So every kid here got a chance to write their own story. And I'm not even going to name jocks. I'm about people who are really successful in the business world, who invented great things. I'm saying all these people were sitting in your seat one day. Like, I don't want to sound too pompous or like a jerk. I can't believe my life. If I was sitting there in high school or college and I said, this is what you're going to accomplish in life, ain't no way in the world I would have thought my life would have turned out like this. And I'm pretty sure Ernie the same way. This guy's one of the most successful people on television ever for a long extended period of time. I don't think when he was graduating from Georgia, he says, hey, when I'm this age, I'm going to have accomplished all this stuff. Yeah. I mean, TK, I mean, I really mean that sincerely. Like, I can't, sometimes, I don't do it a lot. Sometimes I sit around and say, man, I cannot believe this little fat kid from Leeds, Alabama, who grew up in the projects, my life turned out like this. Like I say, Ernie, who went to school to do what he did, I think if you ask him, like, nah, in 40 years, I'm going to be an accomplished all no, this you never, stuff. You, and that's what I would tell those
kids.
You
have no way of knowing.
You get to write your own story.
But what I did say to them, too, is that do anything in your power once you graduate to have a job you get to do.
Yes.
And not got to do. Because too many people drive to work doing jobs they got to do. And it's like, oh, here we go again. But if you have a job you get to do. It's like you've never had to work.
That's what I just told you earlier. See, stop trying to take credit for good stuff when I said it.
I don't think that was exactly the way you put it. That's the way I
did it in Ebonic style.
That story and my story are so far up there. They're not. Wait.
I have one more. I don't know. Chuck, when you're in the sauna, in honor of our steam room, do you pour water on the rock?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Okay. This moron in England felt that it wasn't warm enough. So he went out, filled a bucket full of pool water, threw it on the rocks.
You don't want to do that with the chlorine.
It's basically chlorine gas. So the sauna was filled with five or six people who all ran out choking, throwing up, being sick to their stomach.
What kind of idiot would do that anyway? Automatically, I would never go to the pool. Like, I'm a dummy. And I wouldn't let me go to the pool and get that water. That dude just stupid.
That's another thing I said at that commencement.
Did you?
Never put chlorinated water onto the rocks in a sauna.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure you were aware, because I was very worried that you might go to the nearest body of water that you could find, which would be a pool.
No. There's no. Trust me, brother. And actually, I will admit this. I'm not a sauna guy.
You like moist heat.
I like moist heat. I will use a sauna if I have to, but I love the steam room. Literally and figuratively.
What else can we say?
I love the steam room, and it'll continue after this.
Are we going to get any international calls this week?
Well, you're taking us right into the last segment as we normally do it with your old.
I know, but I love it when we get international calls.
I have no idea. It's time for the answering machine.
You've reached Charles Barkley. Leave a message, America.
Hey, Ernie and Charles. My name is Donna. I love your show and listen every week. Question for both of y'all. If you could bring back any canceled TV series for one more season, what would it be? And Charles, preferably one you've actually watched.
That did not sound like an international call, but a very quality call nonetheless. So if you could bring back a TV series that's long gone, what would it be? I don't know if any TV series are long gone now with, you know,
TV land
and everything else. You can still watch.
Well, I'm sad that Modern Family is ending, which is arguably the greatest show in television history. I love The Good Wife. I love Scandal. Modern Family was amazing.
Well, what would you bring back that's gone already? How about What's Happening? Hey.
See, I don't like where you're going with this.
Why?
Because I think it's a shot coming at me soon.
No, it's not. Okay. I used to watch that show.
I thought you were going to call me Rerun.
No, I'm not going to call you Rerun. Okay. There was Raj and Rerun and Hey.
It'd probably be because everybody had a thing for Thelma on Good Times and Aunt Wilona.
Mm-hmm. So you'd like to see Good Times.
Yeah, right. I can always look at Thelma and
how about L.A. Law? L.A. Law was a good show.
Yeah,
you like to have that
it was. And that and Hill Street Blues. Yeah. But yeah, Thelma and Janet DeBoer, I forget her name. She was hot.
You know what show I used to like growing up? You know what? McMillan and Wife.
Oh my goodness.
You remember that?
I do remember that.
Susan St. James.
Wait, well, when's the one who's married to
Dick Ebersole?
Dick Ebersole, my mentor, the guy who got me in television.
Yeah. Still love that
show. What was the show with Angie Dickinson?
Policewoman?
Police Story. That was pretty good.
Police something.
And listen, I don't want people thinking I got some issues going on, but you can't ever go wrong with Charlie's Angels.
You got issues. Next call.
Hey, Chuck, I got a question for you. What's your top five fast food places?
Ooh. Fast food places? Mm. Well, you can't go wrong with In-N-Out Burger. You can't go wrong with Five Guys. You just can't make the mistake of put those fries on your upholstery, because that old greasy bag is going to get you every time. I love Taco Bell. I love tacos. Tacos might be my favorite food. There's a place in Alabama called Milo's that's unbelievable.
That's a fast food place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And you can never go wrong with Kentucky Fried Chicken.
How about Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A, the only thing I get there is that wrap when I'm trying to eat healthy, which I never try to do.
Oh, I got a Chick-fil-A addiction.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Now, those look the chicken Caesar wrap is really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Haven't tried that.
Come on, man. You get you some I left out Popeyes.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Popeyes. But Kentucky Fried Chicken
and Popeyes. You can't really, when you're talking about your top five fast food places with Chuck, you ain't going to get just the top five. All right,
dude, I'm
going
to eat more than five places.
Hey, Charles, have you ever wondered what you would have done if you weren't tall? Like if you were only 5'9", but you still had the exact same personality, what do you think you would have ended up doing career-wise?
Well, you know, number one, I really appreciate that question, because one of the reasons I get frustrated and mad when we talk about paying college players and things like that, because I think there's a tremendous value in a free education. I don't know, to be honest with you, but I think one of the reasons I talk to kids a lot about education, I don't want to dig ditches. There's nothing wrong with it. But I would have tried to get a job where I got to wear a suit to work every day, because I'm not made to work in cold weather or hot weather. So I would have found a way to be successful where I could go to work in a suit so I could control the temperature. Because I'm opposed to really, really hard work. I've only did something silly my whole life, like dribble a stupid basketball. I'm not made for hard work. I'm not going to lie.
I'm just trying to digest that whole answer.
Oh.
I don't want to go any place where I don't want to have a job where I have to work in hot weather or cold weather.
Can you imagine? I admire people. I don't want to work outside in the middle of the summer.
You don't want to work outside.
Oh, at all. That would suck. Can you imagine? Like, it's raining like hell here right now. Can you imagine if you have to work outside all day? Because it's either going to be rainy, cold, or hot. Or, like, there's very few days where you're going to be like...
So it would be an inside job where you wear a tie. Doing what?
I think I could have... I'm not smart enough to be a doctor, a lawyer. Probably an engineer. Can't do that. Whew. See, Ernie, I'm not going to get on TV and lie and say I'm like a rocket scientist.
That's evident.
Something in the business world.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Because you do. You enjoy business.
I enjoy business. Something in the business world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Where you have to wear a tie.
Or just a sport coat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that our last call? There's nothing international this week. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Good day, mate. That's it for the Steam Room. Episode number 11 is in the books.
On to the toes.